John Horgan, the Premier of British Columbia, was in Whitehorse on Monday to speak with Premier Sandy Silver, First Nations governments, and business leaders about Indigenous trans-border issues and other concerns common to both jurisdictions. Daylight savings times was one of the topics discussed. Another area of common interest is a utility corridor between Yukon and BC. The premiers are looking at the possibility of connecting Yukon's isolated electrical grid to British Columbia. Indigenous trans-border issues have been a long-standing concern for First Nations along the west coast of North America. The issue spans international borders, and the two premiers want to tackle the issue with a united voice. Both premiers touted the excellent working relationship that has developed and are looking forward to working together on common goals. But as Premier Horgan says, however, Indigenous trans-boundary issues was his first priority for his first trip to Yukon.
Thank you, everybody. It's really great to be here on the traditional territory of the Kwanlin Dun First Nation and the Ta'anquachin Council. It's great to have Premier Horgan here with us as well, visiting. We have an excellent working relationship between myself and John, very pleased to have him here in the Yukon. As Canada's western boundary, we have a lot in common, that's for sure. And it's great to have this opportunity to speak, and I appreciate that Premier Horgan has made his way to Whitehorse for this conversation. I believe this is his first time here. So we are talking about issues not only with this government, but Premier Horgan is speaking to other governments. He met with First Nations governments this morning. We'll be meeting with the business community as well over the lunchtime, and we'll be discussing some transboundary First Nations issues, green economy. The list goes on and on. And so with that, I don't know, John, if you want to say a few beginning words.
Thank you, Premier Silver, and it's great to be here in Whitehorse. We were invited initially by the Kaska in Lower Post, the most northern points in British Columbia, to come and talk about transboundary issues, Indigenous transboundary issues. This is an area that our government is focusing on. This fall, we'll be introducing legislation to implement the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples in British Columbia. So to have the opportunity to get to the northernmost portions of British Columbia to have those discussions about the legislation, about how we can work together. Premier Silver and I met a few First Ministers conferences ago, and we were rookies at that time, and now we're at the top of the pack. So that speaks to a lot of transition in provincial and territorial governments. But it was also an opportunity for us to talk about the commonalities between Yukon and British Columbia. So we have been, over the past couple of years, whenever we get together, talking about the importance of linking not just our economies and our social and cultural connections, but also making it absolutely clear that there is a seamless connection between our two jurisdictions, and that seamless connection starts with Indigenous peoples who have been here for millennia. They do not know borders. They're obliged to acknowledge them, but their territories have crossed not just from a territory and a province, but also to a nation when we talk about Alaskan issues. So to have a relationship with Premier Silver, British Columbia and Yukon, I think is positive all the way around. We have common energy interests as well on the greening of the economy. We want to see if we can get the grid to come to the Yukon, and that would be the best place to start with that, would be the Northwest Transmission Line, which is almost here. So we have issues that we want to talk about with the business group later on. But first and foremost, I believe the transboundary Indigenous issues is what brought me to Whitehorse on my way to Lower Post, and I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to talk to Premier Silver about all the progress that he and Yukoners have been making on Indigenous issues over the past number of years. Yeah, certainly I wrote to Sandy a few months ago when we started our consultation with respect to time changing. I had, for those who are unaware of this, I was asked a year and a half ago by media how I was going to deal with the issue. And I said, quite frankly, I don't believe it's an issue. I haven't had any mail on it. Well, 20,000 emails later, it was apparent to me that there was certainly a demand in British Columbia to look at this issue. So we opened up a consultation, and it turned out to be the largest consultation in BC history. Surpassed electoral reform, surpassed cannabis legalization. Almost 250,000 people expressed their views, and of that 250,000, 93% said they wanted to stay with daylight savings time. Now, in California, there was a referendum, overwhelming support for staying with daylight savings time. Oregon and Washington have passed legislation in their state legislatures to stay with daylight savings time, but in all three cases, they require congressional approval to make the change. Premier Silver and I are not obliged to go to Ottawa on these issues. These are issues that we can deal with here in our respective jurisdictions. Later in the week, I'll be in Washington meeting with Governor Inslee and Governor Brown from Oregon, and we're going to talk about this in more detail. Governor Inslee committed to have his congressional delegation bring the issue to Washington, but I think you'd be living under a rock if you didn't think there are other issues going on in Washington, D.C. right now that might supersede daylight saving time. So I'm going to talk to the governors later this week, and I'm going to get back to Premier Silver by Friday with a sense of what's happening in the states. Our cabinet will review these issues, and we have a legislative session starting soon, so I expect we'll have legislation in the weeks ahead, but I really do want to, as with Premier Silver, I believe if the West Coast moves in lockstep, we're better off than if we do it piecemeal.
I think for me personally, we take a look at the partnerships that we have with regions that are close to us. Our economy is swayed very much by the relationships we have with British Columbia and with Alberta. So I'm very interested to see what Premier Kenney's point of view is on this as well. But again, I think it's more important for us to take a look at a Western consideration of this. As you know, Tim, you know, if we're flying out or if we have our medevacs out or, you know, even our education systems, we're so closely tied to what British Columbia does. So it's really great for Premier Horgan and I to have this conversation right now, reach out to Alaska, see where they are on the issue as well, as and following the lead from Minister from Premier Horgan as far as his interaction with the states that surround his beautiful province.
And I would just add that British Columbia has multiple time zones. We have a mountain time zone as well, and there are communities that stay on daylight saving time all year long. So we have a bit of a hodgepodge, and I'm more inclined to see if we can find consistency, certainly on the West Coast. But within our consultation, it was almost a coin toss on whether we should await U.S. action or just take action ourselves. So we're going to, again, I'm going to be in consultation with leaders this week, and I'll be communicating that to Premier Silver as soon as I have a sense of where they're going.
I think one of the major conversations that we're talking about is, you know, this. It started at the Western Premiers and even conversations with the Northern Premiers before that, and then into the Council of the Federation, conversations about utilities corridors and how we can get off of one particular conversation about one particular pipeline and start talking about connecting our communities through these utility corridors for fiber optic technology, for you name it, you know, and to work lockstep on a national consideration. And in that conversation is greening the economy with the amount of energy that British Columbia currently has from hydro and, you know, looking for hopefully a client or a customer north of them is definitely something that Premier Horgan and I want to have more of a formalized conversation about. So that's what we're trying to figure out right now, is how do we formalize our conversations between our ministers that are responsible for energy and have a little bit more dialogue in that capacity. We've had great conversations about charging stations all the way up into the Yukon as well. It would be great to be able to, as we take a look into the next mining phase, you know, there's some massive mines that are in consideration, including mines like Casino. We have Victoria Gold that just came online as well, which increases the pressures for us in our green economy. So always willing to have a conversation with Premier Horgan on how we can work towards connecting that grid, work with the federal government as well to see what kind of money is in there for those endeavors as well. So just to formalize that conversation.
And I don't have anything to add to the energy component, but we did also talk about the challenge of our time, and that's climate change. And I met with representatives from the Tlingit this morning, on the top of their list is the changing environment that they're living in. And of course, they have oral traditions going back thousands of years to have a sense of what the changes on the landscape, the changes in terms of wildlife, in terms of habitat. So to have the opportunity to have two provinces, a province and a territory, that have similar geographies, similar energy profiles, as well as an abundance of minerals and metals. These are obvious questions for us to talk about. How do we do that in the most sustainable way possible? I believe that we have a lot to learn from each other, but both jurisdictions have been focused on greening the economy for some time, and I believe that's the future. In British Columbia, we've had carbon pricing, for example, for a decade. So when Premier Silver and I were attending, and I love the way you said getting the subject off of one thing and on to many things, because Canada is an amalgam of many, many things. And to have one province or a handful of provinces saying that this is the only thing we can talk about frustrates these other conversations that we need to have. And so where we have allied ourselves and become close is on this notion that we have a lot of things that we need to talk about. Let's not just compartmentalize ourselves to one or two. Let's look at the whole continuum of challenges. And that's how we make progress. That's what citizens want to see. Relationship building is why I'm in the north to speak with Indigenous communities that reside in British Columbia. But we have been establishing a relationship over the past couple of years. And where we have commonality is far exceeds where we have differences. And so making progress wherever we find the opportunity is the timeline we're operating under.
Yeah, I would just add to that previous to us coming into to government, there hasn't been a conversation about buying power from BC in the past. So we started 3 years ago, or 3 years ago, this conversation in earnest. And, Premier Horgan and I have had this conversation a lot. We've had different conversations with the ministers responsible as well. We've had conversations with my former chief of staff, who has 14 years experience as the president of Yukon Energy Corporation, with his counterparts in BC. So it's time to formalize that conversation, especially now that the federal government is talking utilities corridors, especially now that more than ever, it's really important to talk about greening our economy. We're turning a page in Canada where people are understanding the benefits to the economy to get ahead of the technologies, to make sure that we're at the forefront when it comes to green economy. And so to have a premier that's right beside us that absolutely emulates that in all of his actions, it's really important for us to formalize that process. And I believe that's going to perpetuate the conversation.
Of course, you know that the Tlingit, the Tahltan, the Kaska, these are nations that know no boundaries, or they're constrained by our European or our constructs from Federation. And so I was invited as part of a desire to remove the residential school in Lower Post, and we were going to be coming with sledgehammers, but we haven't unfortunately been able to get sufficient resources from the federal government to make that a reality. So I didn't want to not come because awaiting a federal election or any of these other issues. I'd been invited, I wanted to come, I'd not been to Lower Post before. We are again embarking on a broad reconciliation agenda south of the border, all the way to actually into Washington State, where there are also transboundary issues, where the Coast Salish people have been traveling back and forth for millennia. I participated this summer in Tribal Journeys, which is a paddling adventure that is put together largely to connect young Indigenous peoples to the water and to the connections between communities. So I understand transboundary issues in the south. I want to have a better understanding of transboundary issues in the north. We had some very productive meetings this morning. These are kind of intellectual constructs for us Europeans, but for Indigenous peoples who have been here forever, these are just families cross borders all the time. And so when the Kaska asked me to come, I was delighted with the opportunity. I will be meeting with the Tahltan as well. So these are opportunities for me as a southerner to meet with British Columbians in the most northern portions of the province. And so to have the opportunity to meet with Premier Silver as well was a bonus.
Yeah, we are also meeting tonight with Grand Chief Peter Johnston to have a conversation as well. I think it comes down to you have two premiers that are in lockstep as far as their commitment to making sure that we have more conversation as opposed to less conversations with the Indigenous communities that really share our communities, share our space here together. And, how do we as premiers take the lead from CASCA, take the lead from the communities and say, how do they want to see that process? Can you imagine being a transboundary First Nation that has one way of working with one premier and government and another one? That can't help. So the more that we can get together and the more that we can get together with the leaders of the Indigenous communities to hear what they're looking for, it's very, very important that we do that. And I'm so glad that Premier Horgan had a chance to sit down with Nishada Hene, Sydney today, to discuss the issues that are outside of our jurisdiction and in his jurisdiction. And again, the more that we can have just more bilaterals, more trilaterals, the better.
British Columbia is unceded territory. We don't have a treaty framework as there is here in Yukon. We have pockets of treaties. We have a modern treaty process. And we're continuing to support that. But we're introducing legislation this fall. We've been focused on reconciliation from the moment we were sworn in. And to have a neighbor who has the same perspective and has transboundary issues that we can address is very positive. I have an outstanding relationship with Governor Inslee in Washington, but those transboundary issues are complicated by national boundaries. Here, we're in Canada. And although there are Alaskan issues that affect largely the Yukon components, it still is a tripartite relationship. And so to have two of the three legs on the stool working with Indigenous communities to have a true understanding that these boundaries are artificial in their minds, I fully support that, and so does Premier Silver.
Shone FM, Indigenous Radio.